Back in the book of Matthew, we ain't going to have time to read all that. But in the chapter through 26 through 28, we see the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went through a lot at that time. He went through all the steps of the darkness of the valley, the shadow of death. Our minds can't comprehend that. There alone, he was there forsaken by his friends. He entered into a death grapple with the powers of darkness. And although we can't understand it as we look at the mystery of the cross, he laid hold of the forces that had mastered the human spirit, and he shatters them there. Now, what we look at this, of course, that was about the crucifixion. But at the end of that, we look at my verse I mentioned this morning. It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. You need to ask yourselves this question. Why was this curtain tore in two? It was like that for centuries. I don't know how long, I didn't figure it out. It was the Holy of Holies. It was closed to all the normal people. Only person to go in there was the high priest once a year. And he went in there to quake and all his bones as he went in there. Because if he wasn't right, he didn't come out alive. And so we see now it's open. The veil which blocked it off to mankind was open. And who did that? God himself. He ripped the veil wide open. He passed through the holy place. He penetrated into the Holy of Holies, even though we can't understand it. And the reality of our human spirit is unveiled. Now, we look back toward the resurrection and the time period in between this. And we have the wonder of the resurrection morning and the account that Luke gives us of two disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And a stranger appeared to them and talked with them. I don't know what they were talking about. God's word don't say in particular, but I'd like to know, because, of course, as we know, the stranger was who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Although he didn't recognize any of these people. And he spent much time, I don't know how many hours, opening scripture to those disciples who just couldn't comprehend what was going on at this time. The scriptures that we went over pertain to Christ, what had been now predicted of him, and after he left, what happened? The mind finally got clear, and they realized it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And they asked each other, in verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? They had a burning heart. The reason why they had a burning heart, they were full of excitement, talking with the resurrected Christ. This was a miracle. Couldn't comprehend it. We find that the secret is revealed to these fellows. Our humanity is fully possessed, reclaimed by our Creator. The Holy of Holies have been entered. What was lost before for centuries was finally saved. Look at the book of Hebrews 19 through 20. I think I got it marked. I hope so. Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. By a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now, what do we see here? We find here that They had a burning heart. And that is where you and I should be standing this morning. The secret of humanity. Look back at the cross and the resurrection. Was open to anybody who opens up his own heart to the Son of Man. Just like these two disciples, they had to open up their heart before they could really understand what our Lord Jesus Christ was saying. And we see that he alone reestablished the lost relationship that we had with God, which enables us, because God don't want us lost. He wants us to be what he wants us to be. And we find our Lord Jesus Christ, he alone saves and restores what was lost to the fallen man so many centuries beforehand into the interest of sin in the world. And only he can restore the marred, distorted image of God in our lives. Now, all the possibilities of fulfilled humanity is available to anyone in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells. Some of you might not know this, but you look at the Holy Holies, and the next temple is where? Down in our heart. That's where he's at this morning. And all that you want to be, you can be. Now, that might be a little misleading. We might want to make $1 million. I'm still working on it. You might, we just went through the Olympics, and some of you younger people were imagining that you was getting a gold medal probably at those Olympics or something like that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the deep yearning that we have in our hearts. Our desire to be connected to God himself. And that don't come easy. To know him, and hopefully that he knows us. We desire, and I mean, I look at my life, and I look at these young girls, and they're at one end, and I'm clear at the other end, unfortunately. But we look at that, and we have a desire to be more like them. We have a desire to, we look at our lives, these girls are looking at lives in the future, and I'm still looking at the future because I haven't reached that place yet. We have a desire to count for something. And I'd better hurry up because I'm 80 years old, and if I don't get something done pretty soon, it ain't going to happen in my life. But it makes possible for you to be clean, whole and forgiven. That's a goal. We don't reach it. I know my short history on this earth, there's times where I goofed up. I could have kicked myself many, many times, but the desire was to be more like Jesus, that he would forgive me for all my shortcomings I had had in all these years prior. And so Christ Jesus makes it possible for you to fulfill God's best for you. We want to be mature. We want to be Christ-like, filled with love, forgiveness, wholeness, and good works. Now, that causes a problem. Why do we act the way that we do? I ain't going to go and ask for a show of hands, but I could ask for a show of hands of everything that you acted your whole life perfect, because I know better. Way short of that. Why do we want to do good? Well, instead of doing good, we're doing evil. It's a good question. And don't tell me that you haven't done no evil in your life, because I know better. We can accomplish great things in technology, engineering. Some of you end up going to college and so forth, and you get all this education, and you know all this stuff. But at the same hand, we look at the world, and we see what? It's a mess. We see poverty. We see war, racism, crime, and all kinds of ills upon this earth. And even on my short span, I look back and I look at where I'm at now, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse every year on the year. So why do we act the way we do? The mystery of the ages, they've been asking that here for centuries. The great questions have been raised by the philosophers and the great thinkers about our human race. What happened to it? All this has been answered in the interest of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and to our humanity. Trouble is, most of the world don't know what has happened yet. Now, we go back to the cross. What followed that cross, that event which happened, is so shattering. It represents a, I guess you call it, a complete historical break in the time, as really what happens. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible? He's the first fruit, and the only fruit so far, as we look at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He broke into the realm of a human spirit, the very center of humanity, being had been opened wide open. As we come to know the Lord in our spirits, we discover that the worship of our heart is given to him there. The spirit is the key to the mastery of the whole human race. Now, what do you mean that the spirit is the key of mastery? There's three parts of the human being. There's the body. You can look at me, that's part of me. There's the soul. You can't see that, but it's there. And finally, we have the spirit, which is the real you and I. Now, when you get a person's spirit, you have it all. All three parts, complete, 100%, that you have all that you are or going to be. By means of the cross and by the means of the resurrection, our Lord made it possible to go into the very Holy of Holies for us, for our humanity and spirit, so that God could make the dwelling place within us. Where's God at now? Is he in the Holy of Holies up there yet? He ain't gone out? Christ? If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's where? And dwelt within us. A holy place. If you look at the Holy of Holies, you had to be putting it perfect to even go in there. And God says, this is going to be my dwelling place in your spirit. So, the message of the gospel is this. God isn't out there in the blue yonder as you, well, this morning you ain't going to see the blue yonder. You want to see clouds, but yesterday was pretty nice. He ain't out there. He ain't got a building way out yonder where it's going to be the judgment hall, and he's just waiting to get a hold of you and I so he can judge you for what we richly deserve to the Nicodemus. He is ready and waiting to pass into the center of our hearts and pour out his blessings, his character, his beings, his life into that life. When the king is enthroned in a human life, where is the kingdom of God? Out there in the building somewhere, in blue yonder? Where is he at now? Here. I don't know if you ever mentioned that before, but I mean, realize that, but the kingdom of God is here in your and my hearts. This is the message of the Gospels. Repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. You don't see it? If you look at me, you aren't going to have a hard time seeing the kingdom of heaven in me, but it's there. Heaven is not someplace out there that we can't really realize. The king is there. The kingdom. He got his throne in your and my heart. The kingdom of God has come. Now, the Gospel of Matthew challenges us with the most crucial and personal question facing every human being. Let me ask you this question, and you take time to examine yourself. Is Jesus Christ the king in your life? Now, you'll say, well, he's my savior, right? He's the savior of our souls, of a physical being, as far as that goes. But the problem is, we've got to ask ourselves, is Jesus Christ king in our lives? What does that mean? A king has to penetrate, get inside us, and conquer every square inch of our lives. The deepest part of your spirit that you don't even know. And we need to ask ourselves this question, has he really penetrated your spirit and mastered your heart? Who is the most single, most important person in the universe? Christ. You sit and you think that you really know Christ. But until you meet him and receive him as your king, you haven't really met him. You know, we need to respond in obedience to the message and the gospel gives us that we may truly look at him, surrender to our king. To do that, we got to do what? Throw out all that old trash that's in our lives. Get rid of it all. The ego that we have, the pride, the self-will, do it my place. And replace it with the, what? Body, glorious throne of Jesus, the cross of Calvary, what he did for you and I. You do that, then his rule in our lives will be complete. Body, soul, and spirit.